Hey guys, and welcome to the Abundance Alchemist Podcast. I'm Caitlin Dorsey, an abundance alchemist, animal lover, trauma survivor to thriver, mindset expert, self-love junkie, and author. This is the place to be to grab those powerful tools, ideas, and inspiration to make lasting changes in yourself and your life. No more waiting, my friends, because it's time to show up unapologetically, radiate that confidence, and create a life you absolutely love. Time to buckle up and dive on in. Hello, my high-fiving friends. I'm so excited you're here. And as always, I have an amazing guest we're going to chat with today. Today, we are chatting with Kevin Burke. He is the headmaster of the Real Astrology Academy and the creator of the Human Game and the Human Game Experience. He has been counseling and coaching as the astrologer since 1998, teaching astrology since 2000, and is the author of more than a dozen books. Welcome, Kevin. How are you?
Good, well, Caitlin. Thank you for having me.
Good. Well, I love to just start by you sharing how you got to doing what you're doing today.
Oh, everybody thinks that's such a simple question.
I know, it's not. A good place to start though, right?
Well, okay. I had been misidentifying as an astrologer for about 30 years. I thought I was an astrologer. My pronouns were Scorpio, Cancer, Gemini. And I never really fit in with the astrological community. That didn't really concern me because I've never really fit in anywhere. But I was always asking questions that nobody else could really understand why I was asking them. I was always looking for more critical thinking. I wanted to understand more of why this worked. And you know, one of the things early on that I looked at is, well, you know, there are people that have studied astrology for 30 years and they can't interpret a natal chart. Nothing takes 30 years to learn. The issue isn't with astrology being that difficult. The issue is there's got to be there's a framework, there's a structure, there's something missing that makes this skill not accessible to people who would really like to have that skill. So I went down that particular rabbit hole for many, many years, exploring how to teach this. And along the way, I'm looking for... I thought I was looking for synthesis. That was the word I was always using. This somehow I got caught up in this story that I'm looking for the ability, you know, a synthesized interpretation of the natal chart. And I guess that was in reaction to how most astrological interpretations are compartmentalized things. You know, this is this and this is this, and those things don't necessarily fit together, but they're both part of you. Good luck with that. And how do you integrate that? How do you combine it? It seems to me it shouldn't be that difficult to combine these little things. And so I, you know, really 20 years, I'm pursuing this idea that I had never really defined. That word didn't quite mean what I thought it was. Using the word a lot didn't quite mean what I thought it meant. Couldn't describe what I thought it meant, but I'm looking for how do we integrate. So I'm teaching, I've created teaching and training programs to help astrologers. You got to write interpretations. You can learn these skills. You can learn how to speak the language. You can make these connections in your own mind so that you're not like relying on phrasebook phrases. You can actually speak the language. And many times, I had many, many experiences over many years of teaching where I talk about how I discovered a deep and abiding kinship with the captain of the Titanic. Because I'd be in the middle of teaching a program that I'd put together, and I get about 3 or 4 weeks into it and go, oh yeah, this doesn't actually do what I thought it did. This train doesn't go where I think it goes. That is most definitely an iceberg. we are just gonna hit that because I cannot fix this in the time remaining with, you know. And to be fair, I was the only one that was really bothered by that because my students were still getting a lot of astrology and they were still enjoying what this was. They didn't quite understand why I'm just noticeably, progressively melting down because I'm losing faith in this. But so much of that was because I know, you know, yes, it's exciting that you're learning what you think you're learning, but I've kind of presented it under false pretenses. I've kind of promised that this is going to lead you somewhere, and I'm realizing it can't. It doesn't. And since that's the thing that was always driving me, it got, you know, and that's happened time and again. And that happened again about 3 years ago. I was actually in the middle of teaching an advanced training program that was allegedly specifically natal chart interpretation synthesis. And just by that point, I just, you know, I just, this doesn't do what I thought it did. I had realized, I'd made some really important realizations along the way that, that nobody had really, again, nobody asked these questions. I didn't know to ask the questions because I was inside the bubble of what I thought astrology was. I had realized that the way that I was working with astrology, the way that most people think, what most people think astrology is, which is not what it is, it's just one of the things that it can do, that astrology in the last 100 years has represented itself as a system of personality typing. And personality typing is incredibly useful. But the system itself, whether it's your birth chart or the Myers-Briggs, it sorts you into little boxes. And that's really not terribly useful for you, but it's great to be able to sort other people into boxes because you can answer the really burning human question, what the hell is wrong with you? And that's what it does. And there's a real value for that. But it doesn't work well in the long term to try to understand yourself. Because ultimately you're like, well, I'm not just that little box. I'm this sometimes, but I'm not. So there really wasn't a mechanism for how do you move between the boxes. And so I went off on a tangential kick of changing the whole model of how thinking I need to stop looking at the natal chart as little boxes. I had a brief moment of looking at it as a circuit board, where it's like, no, it isn't about these two-dimensional, it's, you know, how do these things connect? Where are the connections? Where are the paths between these various configurations that everybody has? And it's like, oh, this was exciting, because it's like, this is, you can't synthesize the boxes, but you can network them. And this seemed to be really interesting and really exciting and a nice contrast to what you normally get with an astrology reading, which is you're getting your portrait painted.
Yeah.
And nothing wrong with that. My mom is, I have to say this, contractually obligated to say this, my mother's a portrait artist. I love the experience. It's a wonderful experience having your portrait painted. It is lovely to sit down in front of someone and have them tell you how pretty you are for 90 minutes. And that can be enlightening, and you can learn valuable things about yourself, and you get an interesting perspective about yourself. And when you're done, you have a portrait. And you hang it up on the wall, and you look at it from time to time, but you can't do anything with it.
Yeah.
And that's what was always frustrating me, is why is astrology so passive? How do we take this because it promised, ooh, we've got all the answers. It's like, yeah, but not in this form.
Right.
This is a port. And it took me so long to realize, okay, limitation isn't astrology. The limitation is the model. It's the descriptive. It's the whole underlying approach of personality typing. And as I'm trying to break free of that, I discovered, I just had a little, I mean, breakdown, breakthrough, whatever, prepositions, and started, and I just was getting these really wild ideas where I'm just taking the symbolism and realizing, oh no, but this can be mapped. This really, the symbols really mean everything that we think they mean. And you can then apply them in these different contexts, and things started to become dynamic. And had a couple of breakthroughs with like really small things, you know, forget the signs. I was just looking at the modality of the sign and realizing, oh my God, that's like so incredibly useful. That's an adverb that tells you how you do something. This is incredibly useful information. And I started to put together, you know, I called it the human game. Mm-hmm. It was this ridiculously complicated thing because I'm starting to map it out. I needed the rules and the structures, and I'm diving into like the obsessive part of it. But it's like, hey, your birth chart is a map of the city of your life, and there's 12 neighborhoods, and you can upgrade any of those neighborhoods. And when you upgrade a particular neighborhood, you improve that area of your life. And to upgrade the neighborhoods, you need to actually drive one of the planet vehicles, because different planet vehicles are in charge of different neighborhoods, and they need fuel first. So you got to figure out where their fuel is and what kind of fuel that is. Mm-hmm. And then you got to gather the resources from wherever they need to and get them into the where. And so I'm building this thing out, and it's like exciting and engaging. And it's like, okay, nobody's done this. This is, and my students are on board with it because they're like, okay, whatever, this is interesting. We'll go with wherever you are for the next couple of weeks, as we're obviously not going to do, you know, we're not doing the assignments that you had sort of put forth, and you're excited about this. So let's play with whatever you're doing. I'm like, good, thank you.
Love it.
My advanced students know me well enough to just go, yeah, okay, he's coming up with something new. Let's just say we were there then.
Perfect.
And so I've created this thing. And I could see the practical applications of it. I could see immense practical applications of it in terms of coaching, because it takes away the whole issue of motivation. Mm-hmm. Because you're motivated. When you have a goal, you want to do something, you're motivated. Mm-hmm. You're not doing it because you don't have enough fuel. Mm-hmm. So recognizing, oh, here, how do you find the fuel? You want to do it. If you could do it, you would do it. So what's missing? Don't think you're not, you know, it's like, it's, and you know, the traditional coaching of, you know, rah, 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 you need to actually force yourself to do it. Well, maybe, or maybe you could just figure out, oh, just a little bit of fuel makes this a heck of a lot easier. Mm-hmm. Because if I had the resources, I would love to be spending them on this, but I don't. So okay, how do you find the, this can show you how to find the resources. And I'm playing with this and trying to build out a coaching model and didn't really know what it was. And it was a year, and I'm living this on multiple levels in my life and just having more fun than I've ever had. But I didn't know what the heck the human game was. And I'm talking about this to people and getting just that's good. And then gently backing away because it's like, okay, he's enjoying himself. He's not hurting anybody else, but I have no idea what the hell he's talking about. And I finally realized it's a philosophy. I couldn't define what the human game was. And when I realized it's a philosophy, and I loved that because it takes me out of a lot of really uncomfortable arguments, because it's absolutely not therapy. It's absolutely not counseling. It is coaching. It's its own thing. There are reasons, you know, it serves a different purpose. Mm-hmm. It may use tools and descriptions and stories that resemble things that are used in counseling and therapy, but this is not that. And by calling it a philosophy, nobody knows what the heck philosophy is. I don't have to certify with anything. I can put this out there and not have to defend it in ways that it doesn't need to be defended. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, oh, I'm a philosopher. I've always been, I've never been an astrologer. I never cared about astrology for astrology's sake. Mm-hmm. I have only ever cared about astrology because it promised it was going to give me answers to the ultimate questions of life, the universe, and everything. Mm-hmm. I spent 30 years trying to wring those answers.
Right.
And you know, went away from astrology for a while as I'm exploring the whole human game philosophy and how story works, and knew that astrology fit in with it in some way, and then figured out exactly how. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, no, this is where astrology belongs. This is how to get the most out of it. This is where understanding the level of story that it lives at. And I have this framework that organizes everything that I have ever studied or explored or cared about in a more than 30-year journey of spirituality and personal development. All of the consciousness material that I've studied and tried to integrate with astrology, I know exactly where that fits in here. And now I know where they belong and I understand the different contexts. And it's like, oh, this is what I need to do to be able to connect them. Mm-hmm. Because you can't skip over, it's a matrix, and you can't skip over boxes. You can go directly to an adjoining box. But if you want people to understand what you're talking about, you must know what the context is of what you're talking about, and then be able to sort of take them by the hand and take them from where they are and sort of walk them. Here we go here, and then here, and now we're here, and now you can make those connections and see how this fits in. Yeah. And this doesn't apply directly back to your day-to-day life. This lives here, but here's how you can access it. Mm. And that's just been, you know, and in the last 6 months or so, I have finally gotten this to the point where it's like, now I can talk about this. Now it's an actual thing that exists. It's been beta tested. It's been more than beta tested. You know, now I actually have a framework, a way that I can absolutely help you to realize, no, you can have what I'm having. Mm-hmm. This is the reliable, accessible, totally achievable, totally attainable way that you can have as much fun in your life as I'm having in mine.
Love that.
And yeah, but it's been 3 years. Mm-hmm. 3 years to get to this point, and it's still only scratching the surface of what I want to do with this, of what mm-hmm. this can do. But it's like, I need a way in. I need a way in for people to be able to actually experience this and play the human game in their own lives and see what they can do with it and have some framework and structure so it makes sense.
Right.
And then some people with secondary skills in narrative and storytelling and whatnot will be able to take just those raw ideas and just run with them. Mm-hmm. But you know, and then, you know, while I then build out more of a framework so people that don't necessarily have that level of skill, here's how you can develop those skills in this framework. So it's like, well, here's how you can expand your story even more. Here's how you can explore even more possibilities with this. But it's the, you know, gradually building it piece by piece.
Right.
And having to realize that, yeah, what I understand is not not necessarily, I can't do the just mind transfer the way that I would.
Right, right.
The way that I would like to.
If we break this down a little bit more for our listeners, what, yes. How, I heard you kind of talking about what the human game is. Okay. How does it apply to us as far as like the one, the kind of the things that drew me to you when you were, when I was reading about this is like building a foundation of happiness, how it impacts level of story, which you kind of started to touch on, but how does this, how do we start to integrate this?
Okay. The human game is a philosophy based on the idea that the universe is made up of stories.
Okay.
This is an idea that I'm sure I came across as a Facebook meme. I didn't come up with the idea. It is a line from a 1968 poem by Muriel Rukeyser. Someday I'm going to actually be confident in how I'm pronouncing her name. But she's the one that originated that idea. I just grabbed onto it because it connected so many other things in me and then said, okay, what does that mean? If everything is story, how does story work? So I'd already been teaching and understanding and talking about how reality is story. Mm-hmm. Reality is subjective. Right. It's totally separate from truth. Truth is objective. Reality is subjective. It's a thing I've been teaching for decades. And mm-hmm. It's like, oh no, it's story. And now if I understand, if I can explain how story works, then maybe that really big philosophical idea can become more practical.
Mm.
So think of the reality that you experience as the composite story. So that's like the composite signal. So you're looking at a monitor right now or a TV or your screen. That image is a composite image and it's made up of three channels. There's a red channel, a green channel, and a blue channel. So if you do any image editing in a program like Photoshop, you've got no creative control over the composite image. Mm. If you want to make changes to it, you have to make changes to the component levels, to the different channels.
Mm-hmm.
So this is how reality works. What you perceive as reality is the composite story. And the composite story is comprised of three component levels of story. There's the plot level story, the character level story, and the theme level story. Stories are fractal, so each level of story is its own story because everything is story.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got differing levels of creative control over those levels of story. Your experience of reality is sort of shaped in every possible way by the really big lie of duality. And the biggest expression of that is that everything is divided into inside and outside. Mm. And all you know, all you have direct experience of is what lives inside you.
Mm-hmm.
And what lives inside you is your sense of identity. It's the me and how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Everything that your reality, what you actually experience is entirely feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And all you care about is feeling better and ideally feeling really, really good, but moment to moment, our motivation is how can I feel better?
Mm-hmm.
We engage with the outside world because we think somehow conditions in the outside world will create feelings inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a relation between the two, but it's not the way that we think. So the plot level story, title of the plot level story is Just the Facts, Ma'am. The plot level story is the external sequence of events.
Okay.
It is what happened. Everything that exists outside of you is part of the plot level story.
Mm-hmm.
Plot level story is not personal. It's what we think of as the composite reality. For the most part, when we're looking at our story and our reality, we're mostly focusing on the plot level aspects of the story. Mm-hmm. You have almost no creative control over the plot level story. You didn't create this world. Try as you might, most of the time you can't control everything. And frankly, you know, most of the time you can't control anything. So the plot level story isn't really the story that matters. Mm-hmm. The character level story, the story of your life, the story of your character, that's what matters. The character level story is everything that that happens inside you. Mm-hmm. So the title of the character level story is "What's in it for moi?" Plot level story is what happened. The character level story is what happened to me and how do I feel about it? Mm. So one of the things that we'll circle back around to is the happiness problem. And we're looking for happiness largely in the outside world, but the mm-hmm. outside world is the plot level story and happiness is a feeling. So happiness is part of the character level story. Mm. And so understanding that relationship becomes really critical because while goals in the plot level story can contribute to your experience of happiness, they're never going to prevent it. Mm-hmm. And you understand how to separate the plot level story from the character level story. Mm. So then we have the theme level story. The theme level story is also, so the character level story can be personal. That's mm-hmm. the only thing that can be personal. The theme level story is also not personal. The theme level story isn't personal because it is archetypal and universal. It is the great big epic transcendent truth with a capital T. Mm-hmm. It is where you connect to meaning and purpose. Everything on the theme level story is symbolic. So the title of the theme level story is The Da Vinci Code because puzzles and symbols and nothing is what it appears to be. Astrology, which is entirely a language of symbols, mm-hmm. operates entirely at the theme level story. Mm. So it's, and the thing about theme level story, you've got a lot of creative control over the character level story. Mm-hmm. The good news about the theme level story is you have absolute creative control over the theme level story. Mm. The bad news about the theme level story is you have absolute creative control
over the theme
level. Right. Well, I just ask any writer, the scariest thing in all of creation is a blank page.
Yep.
So one of the reasons that astrology is so incredibly useful with the human game, you don't need astrology to play the human game, but it's so incredibly useful because when you connect astrology to the human game, especially when you're dealing with your own story, you're never going to be faced with a blank page. Your birth chart is this jumbo, customized, bespoke toolkit of story tropes that you can tap into for whatever you would like. Mm. They're all made up, they're all optional, but there's a deep meaning to them. And you can connect these when you take a little bit of it and connect it personally, you've got a bigger context. Mm-hmm. You've got a bigger framework. You have that thematic element to your story, which gives it meaning. Mm-hmm. There's more significance. We really crave that deeper understanding that I may only be going grocery shopping at Walmart right now, but this actually does have deeper significance and resonance. Mm. And it can, but you just have to, it doesn't automatically on its own. You have to dip down to the theme level and go, oh, I'm connecting it to this bigger universal archetypal story. And so now I can be guided by that. Now I can take these symbols and go, okay, well, how can I recognize them in here? And I find that fun, but that also gives meaning and start to have bigger connections to things. And it's And you can do that. We can find our own meaning when you understand how to navigate, how you understand our story works, when you understand how to get down to the theme level, and when you recognize you got a teeny tiny little things. I mean, even when you're working with astrology, a little astrology goes such a long way.
Yeah, it absolutely does. Yeah. I love how I can kind of see how you were saying, like, you are bringing in the idea of what you've learned with collective consciousness. You're bringing in astrology. You're bringing in, like you said, the tools from counseling of like story. I mean, there's so much work that I do as a counselor with like thoughts and feelings and even recognizing those, because we're on autopilot so much that we don't even recognize them. And then we don't have no input.
Okay, so I'm going to share with you how I describe the difference between therapy, counseling, and coaching. Okay. And then I'll go into a little bit more detail, because each of them has value. But they're three totally different approaches to a problem, if you will. So say the problem is you think you're a chicken. A therapist is going to convince you that you're not a chicken. A counselor is going to help you to understand why you think you're a chicken. Coach is going to teach you 101 ways to cook eggs. Everything is story. And you know, I there's a bigger framework that I sort of have mapped out for my own sanity with this, because in your life, you may go through, you know, understand which level of help you need at any given moment. If you have experienced a trauma, you need therapy. Therapy is going to help you to function, help you to get to the point where you can once again function. And also, if there are brain chemistry issues, that's a hardware thing. I deal in software, that's hardware. That's got to be addressed separately. Counseling then takes you to the point of, you need to understand what the hell happened. You need a story to describe it. And I do not, I'm not using this phrase disparagingly because it's necessary, but I kind of call it name and blame, because you need that. It will make you feel better. You have to have a framework to understand. But then counseling doesn't always have the tools to help you go, okay, great. Now we've got a story, you've got a framework, you've got, you're able to experience this story. Let's make it a better story. Let's use the tools of coaching. Let's use the tools of story. Let's use the rules of story and realize, okay, there's the rule of compensation. Every gift has a price. Every price has a gift. You have paid a great big price. Let's find the gift. And the gift isn't a prize. It's you know, the gift is something that you didn't necessarily ask for, that you kind of have to figure out, oh, gee, thank you. I got to pretend that I like this, and then I need to figure out what to do with it. You have to kind of work for the, but there is one. And you can take the story and resolve it. Sometimes that means going, okay, this is how you felt. Your feelings are fine. Let's look at the theme level. What's this about thematically? What was the lesson? What was the meaning of this? How can you resolve this so that this ghost story no longer haunts you? So that this thing that happened, happened, and it sucked while you were experiencing it, and you have found the gift. You have discovered the superpower you got from that. And no, it was a gift. You would have preferred cash. You didn't want this thing. You are just making the best out of a situation that you could not do anything about. And it happened, but that doesn't mean it's still happening. And this is, you know, and again, there's such importance and such value in counseling. You must understand the story. Counseling will get you to the point where you can be neutral to a traumatic story, where right. you can accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the human game can go, okay, you want to upgrade that?
Because I love that. Love it.
But you can't start there. It's not right. a bypass
to the others
for deeper stuff. And it works really well. I mean, some of these human game tools and things, it's like, oh yeah, no, I'm expecting as this gets out there, as mm-hmm. as I'm able to get these ideas out in the wild, I am hoping that counselors are going to pick up some of these tools and realize, mm-hmm. oh, now we're at a point where it's like, yeah, we can play with this story now.
I can
help my client move a little bit further.
So, mm-hmm.
Now we got this story. Now let's separate it. Now yeah. let's make this say, great, you've done this. And now let's really kind of isolate this particular thing so that this particular set of conditions really is never going to be relevant
right.
anymore. So we can go, this isn't that.
Right. I love it. I think, and I'm sorry to cut you off. We're going to run out of time. So I want to be careful about that piece. No, but I think I loved our conversation. I think it's so interesting. And I think you're bringing really valuable components. And obviously as a counselor, this is why I have this platform, because I realize that talk therapy and all these different things are not it, right? We function, like you're saying, at so many levels.
They are a useful, important tool.
Exactly. And we need more.
It's not the only tool.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, and there's little enhancements that can go, oh, we can add this. Yeah.
Yes. Well, Kevin, thank you so much. For our listeners, thank you so much for your time. I'm going to put all of Kevin's information in the episode notes so you can check it out. And again, thank you so much for your time today, Kevin.
Thank you.
Thank you for hanging out with me on the Abundance Alchemist podcast. Don't forget to head over and grab your free self-love activation meditation at theabundancealchemist.com and hit subscribe here so you don't miss a thing. Until next time, sending you so much love.